Bowman and Dan Phillips. So let me put down the non-dimensional time-dependent Ginzburg-Landau equation. And so we have, this is an equation on a domain, omega, subset of R, in a three-dimensional domain. It is bounded and simply connected. We have the functions here. We have the order parameter, which is defined on domain omega, that is complex valued. We have a vector field A, and we have defined on the Hall space R3, and we have the electric potential phi. So the first equation is derived from the microscopic theory of superconductivity, and the second equation is more or less an expression of where we have Maxwell equations that hold everywhere. So in particular, we have the here we have the superconducting current on the right-hand side, which is confined to the domain omega, and that's why here I have chi omega, which is the characteristic function on omega. And here we have, this is the electric field that can be written using Maxwell's equation as At plus the gradient, electric potential. And this is really the using through Ohm's law, this is the normal current. And again, it's confined to the domain omega, and therefore multiplying it by the characteristic function. Another thing about this equation is that notice that we have the time derivative on A that is only in the domain omega. So this is an equation that is parabolic only in the domain omega. And in a certain gauge, as we'll talk later, it is elliptic only outside. In addition to the gauge invariance, let me also mention here, we have the natural boundary conditions as in the elliptic case. And we have the condition on the at infinity that we want the curl of A to be to match the applied field here, which we take the applied field as a uniformly uniform on the whole domain, and it's in the z direction, the third direction, and we want that the curl of A to match the applied field at infinity. So let me mention the we have a gauge transformation that is well known for the elliptic case, and for the parabolic case we have the, for the electric potential we have eta that is defined as so we have this transformation for phi as well, and we will find that it is useful to use there are different ways to fix the gauge in order to get a uniqueness. One of them is the divergence of A equals zero. The other one is we have the divergence of A plus C equals zero. And or we can use the same, this one is defined on in the whole space, while here this is another gauge that we can have it only in the domain of omega with some boundary condition on A, that A dot mu is zero on the boundary. Another gauge is C equals zero. So the gauge that we will, in which the one will get existence and uniqueness for, and the regularity is the gauge when divergence of A equals zero in the whole space. And as we've seen in the equations that I had, we had here instead of the Laplacian of A, had the curl of A. So having just the curl of A in the outside the domain, we won't be able to, that means that the divergence of A has some freedom outside the outside omega, as we will see. And having divergence of A equals zero, fixing it in the whole plane would allow us to gain regularity on A in the whole space. Here I also do one more change. I add this vector field AM, that's a small a smooth vector field, whose curl is equal to the applied field and whose divergence is equal to zero, defined in the whole space. The advantage of adding this, so I replace the vector field, the magnetic potential A, by this A buildup of AM. The advantage of doing that is that I want eventually that, here I'm replacing the condition that I had curl of A minus HE3 be in L2 in R3. I can replace it now by having that the curl of A tilde is in L2 in R3. Since the curl of AM is HE3, and since I also had the divergence of A equals zero in this gauge, we introduce some Hilbert space at check, which is the closure of smooth vector fields under the norm of the gradient. And in this norm, we have the gradient, the L2 norm of the gradient is the L2 norm of the sum of the divergence of A and the curl of A. I should also mention that, so with this change of gauge here, I have, we have the equation, it turns out now to be an elliptic equation outside the domain and parabolic inside the domain. I also bring to your attention that here I replace the supercurrent just by J, and that's what I mean by J there. I have, I don't include the condition divergence of A equals zero. We don't include it in this formulation. It's somehow combining these two equations here for phi in this formulation along with this equation, one can show that this equation and the equations for the magnetic potential are equivalent to the divergence of A equals zero. Equivalency one actually would be would find this equation by taking the divergence of this equation and noting again that the divergence of A equals zero. That's how we obtain this equation from the given equation. Since here we have almost non-Mönchengladbach conditions on phi, we fixed phi by taking the by taking its average to be zero. How much time do I have? What? So let me just state the theorem that I will talk about in the coming few minutes. For a C2 alpha domain omega and sufficiently smooth initial conditions C0 and A0 and divergence of A0 equals 0, the system, when in the case of the divergence A equals 0, has a unique solution with phi is in C2 alpha, 1 plus alpha in the domain dt, and dt here is the parabolic domain in omega. And phi would also be C2 alpha, and A, because of the discontinuity in the equation, we can show A, that A is only C1 alpha in the whole space. All right, so let's talk about existence. For existence, we use the method of roots, which is basically we take the finite differences in time, and so that when we do that, we take the, we are discretizing the equation with respect to time. This will eliminate the time derivative, so we'll have an elliptic equation. And when we have elliptic system, we don't have the problem that we don't have a uniform that the system is parabolic only inside the domain. We don't have the parabolic equations anymore. Now we're looking at an elliptic system, and that simplifies the showing the existence. To show the existence of the elliptic system, we use a functional where we have this functional. The last two terms here are equivalent to the usual Ginzburg-Landau functional. We add two terms here. The two terms corresponding to the parabolic, the discretization and the time derivative terms. This one here we have c times e to the I kappa tau c, and here we have a minus a hat. I should mention that here. I fix a hat and c hat. These are given functions in h1 and omega and h check in r3 for a, and we minimize over c and h1 of omega. A would be in again in h check of r3 and phi in h1 of in omega. This is a convex functional, and we can use the direct method of the calculus of variations to find to get a minimizer, and one can show furthermore that this minimizer will have a divergence A equals zero in the whole domain. So I move now to showing the make use of this functional. We look at the discretization in the interval of time. So tau here is the discretization increment, and m is the number of time slices, more or less, in which we take. We can think of psi sub n as the again, the slice at n tau level in time, and the similarity for a and phi n. And here I use the functional that I introduced earlier by defining I sub n. Let me start with the first level. So I one would be the minimization of that of the given of the functional with fixing the points a naught and C naught. We get a minimizer for that, and then we use the minimizer for the second step. So we take these the minimizers from the previous step as the fixed points in the functions for that energy, and we minimize it, and we move step by step forward. I should mention furthermore that this energy is also gauge invariant with similar transformation as in the continuous case, where here we replace the time derivative of eta with the difference quotient in time. One can also take the summation, multiply by tau, and sum over it, so that's more or less equivalent to integration in time. So now, since we have a minimizers at all levels, we look at the Euler-Lagrange equations at these critical points. So with the Euler-Lagrange equations here, we have the corresponding equation now with discrete in time. We can rewrite this expression by d tau of psi, where d tau is the time, the difference quotient, and the second term. You can see that the second term, if we take the limit in tau, this will recover I kappa phi psi as in the continuous case. Similarly here, this is the equation similar to the continuous one. Again, we replace the psi a sub t by the difference quotient in time for a n. And I guess I don't have to mention more on this one. This is the system of equations. The important point about this system now is it's an elliptic system of equations. So it would be easier to talk about the existence of solutions or regularity. We don't want to talk about regularity at this point, but what we want to do now in the method in this method is to find uniform bounds, and we want to take limits so that we can consider the continuous case, past the continuous problem. I should mention also that these psi n and ans are weak solutions to this system. And they satisfy the following bounds. We have the usual maximum principle for psi, and that also holds in the discrete case. We have the following two inequalities also, the two estimates, one for psi n and the other one for a n. We cannot pass, it would be hard to get further estimates to pass to the limit in this gauge. But so what we want to do is to pass to the next gauge, to another gauge, where taking the limits and finding estimates would be easier. One thing that we gain from this estimate, however, is here we have the curl of AN is in L2. We are in the divergence AN A equals 0. So this means that A is in H check, and they are uniformly bounded. We have to be careful when we pass to the second gauge, which we choose here to be phi equals 0 gauge. We have to make sure that the transformation is smooth, regular enough, and uniformly. We want to make sure that as we move to other gauges, we don't have control and divergence of A and outside the domain. So we want to make sure that through this transformation, that eta or that we have enough control on the divergence of A in the next gauge. So that's why we have to have a very good control on eta in H2, and we can do that. So before I move on to the phi n equals 0 gauge, it's better to move to the phi n equals 0 gauge, and I'll come back to that. So in phi n equals 0 gauge, we will have, this eliminates the phi n from the equations, and we will have two equations, one in, now I call them in the new gauge Wn for psi n and Qn. Divergence of Qn now is not equal to 0, so it shows up in the equation. We get similar estimates that we have obtained in the previous gauge. And in addition, we have also a discrete gradient flow estimate, so we can control also the time quotient. This would allow us to have uniform bounds on W sub T and Q sub tau. Let me say that when we take the limits, we look at the interpolation of W and Q, so that they're not defined just at a single point at n tau at a certain slice. We interpolate it we take the constant interpolation to kind of join these different slices in time. Now we have uniform bound on W and Q in H1, an L2 0t at h1 in space, and for q sub t and h check in space, and L2 in time, and similarly L2 for the difference quotient in time. So we can take, we can pass to subsequences and to weak limits, and we will find unique solutions to the continuous case, where now we have a parabolic equation for W and the parabolic equation only in omega for Q. Okay. Before I move on to the to other estimates, let me focus on the following linear system of equations. Now, this is more or less related to the divergence A equals zero. Let's assume here that J is just a given function, and similarly the divergence of A. So this is similar to the equation for A. One can show again for this system that the divergence of A equals zero. From here, I want to just touch on the basic difficulty that comes in this equation, where we have this parabola, that the system is parabolic only inside omega for A sub t, and it's elliptic outside. So we have this mixed problem here. So how do we have a control on A, and how can we control phi? Because the system is derived from the first equation, the second two equations are derived from the first equation, we find that we cannot estimate the gradient of have a good estimate on the electric potential phi. So we have to get the estimates from the equation, from the first equation directly. To do so, we found that instead of usually multiplying by, for example, A or A sub t, we should multiply by the whole quantity A sub t plus the gradient of phi. I should also mention here that this quantity is gauge invariant for this system. So it is for that reason, one should also always keep them tied together using the gauge invariance. So we multiply, if you multiply like the dot product of A sub t plus the gradient of phi, and integrate by parts. Of course, here this is the equation that is defined everywhere in the space. So in some sense, one has to take the extension of phi smoothly outside the domain omega. That's fine. When we with divergence of A equals zero, one finds that when we integrate by parts, one will get this inequality. Okay. This inequality will tell us from here, one can derive that the curl of A is an L2 and divergence of A is zero from the system. So this means that A is an H check, L infinity in time. In order to control the gradient of phi, one has to take the time derivative in this equation. Of course, this is formally, one should regularly take the difference quotient in time, but let's take the time derivative in this equation, and let's multiply by A sub t plus the gradient of phi, the time derivative of that quantity, and integrate by parts, and use Grunwald inequality. So one will get this estimate. So now the curl of A sub t is in H check. With divergence of A equals zero, we can in L2, sorry. So we have A sub t is in L infinity zero t H check in R3. And this means now that we have a control on A sub t. Since that we have this estimate controlled, one can come back to the first estimate, and this would allow us to control the gradient of phi. Okay. Now, with divergence of A equals zero, we have here that A and A sub t are in H check of R3, middle infinity in time. With the Sobolev embedding, we can show that then this means that A and A sub T are in L6 in space and L infinity in time. This would allow us to control phi. Now we can focus on this system of equations, and with A sub T is in H check R3, one can show now that phi is in L infinity in time H2 in space. So now if we look at the first equation, and if we move this term to the other side, now we have that A sub T and with the regularity on phi, that they both are in L infinity zero L6 in space. So from elliptic theory now, we have the gradient of A is L infinity L6 in space. This would allow us now to say that A is in W216 log on space and time. So now for this, what we have for the system, we want to carry more or less the same analysis for the full system, where now J and divergence of J, I didn't care about what J and divergence of J are. I've assumed them, they're given here. Now we want to incorporate them with the phi. I guess I'm out of time. So let me just mention the following. To continue further, one has to move to the gauge where we have divergence of A plus phi in omega and A dot nu equals zero on the boundary of omega. So now we have the system of equations. For this system, we have the, because of the boundary condition, Q dot nu equals zero on the boundary. We also have the gradient of A dot nu equals zero on the boundary. This now would allow us to get better estimates on J, divergence of J, and J sub T in omega. So our goal by using this, by looking at this gauge, is to get estimates on gauge invariant quantities, which are basically J, divergence of J, and J sub T as we will need it, as I mentioned in the previous slide, to get better control on phi, on the electric potential. We will find that, again, using the same trick, by taking the divergence of this equation, we can find an equation that satisfies the divergence of Q, which is a parabolic equation in omega with normal natural boundary conditions on the boundary of omega. It turns out that we need higher integrability on Q, and for that, we will need to look at the equations that Q would satisfy only inside omega. We have this equation where using the where now we, when we look at the equation only inside omega, minus the gradient of divergence of Q plus the curl of Q would be the Laplacian of Q, and we need more boundary conditions on, since here we have, this is basically a system of equations, we need more boundary conditions on Q. And actually, we use to get a regularity on Q inside omega, we use a result of by Chen, Hoffman, and Liang, in which they treat this equation in this gauge, and they focus on or include a boundary condition, a natural boundary condition on the boundary of omega, so that they recall this would be a curved boundary value problem, which would hold in the two-dimensional case that the we know that the curl of Q in 2D would be equal to the applied field. So this is the boundary condition that one would obtain in that case. But in 3D, this does not hold. However, their analysis on this curve boundary problem would be useful in getting estimates on the curl on getting higher integrability on Q inside the domain omega. So these quantities that I want, Gaussian invariant quantities that we want to get better control on, are so in order to do so, what we do in this gauge, we prove that W is in W212 and Q is in L infinity 0 TH1 in omega. We move on to divergence. We use that to show that divergence of J is in L2. Through the equation that divergence Q satisfies, this is in W212, and we use the equation for W and the integrability on Q and divergence of Q as coefficients in the equation for W. We show that this is in W213. This would allow us to show that J sub T is in L2 dt, and having that, we further can show that W sub T is in W212 dt in the parabolic domain in omega, and Q sub T is in H1 in omega. And this would also allow us to say that through some work that now W is in W216 in the parabolic domain, and this would lead us to say that J is in L infinity 0 T L6 of omega. With Gaussian invariants, we make use of the Gaussian invariance, so these quantities will have the same regularity when we move to the divergence A equals 0. And as I mentioned in the linear system that I talked about earlier, that's what we need to show that A is in W216 in the space, and that's with from there we show that this means by embedding that A is in is C1 alpha in space and 1 plus alpha over 2 in time. And this would also, from here, we get the regularity for psi and for phi. And I thank you for your attention and patience.